For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin, Night at Falcoholic Kevin, here to bring you my final predictions for the Falcons. This will be my final official mock draft. We will be doing one more live mock draft on Wednesday's Falcoholic Live. We should be having Eric Robinson and Adnan Nikic joining us for that one. So that one won't just be mine. That'll be a collaborative final prediction sort of mock draft. But I did a mock on Monday where I did some trades for those that like the trade mock drafts. I know there's two factions, some that, you know, like entertaining trades and some that absolutely hate it. So if you hate trades, this is the mock for you. There will be no trades in this mock. And, you know, we'll take a look at some of the possibilities and discuss some of the final sort of notes about this process, some of the final things that I want to touch on before we get to the draft itself. And we'll cover anything, you know, emerging that happens on Wednesday. I'm sure most of you will be watching this on Tuesday or Wednesday morning. So it's an exciting time. It did come down, of course, before we get into the mock, that there will not be any punishment levied on the Falcons in the 2024 draft. The league, as expected and as tried to tell people, it's very unlikely that there was going to be any picks taken away in the 2024 draft, like 3 days before the draft. That is not something the NFL wants to do. They don't really want to mess up the product like that, or mess up the teams in that way. This doesn't mean that the Falcons are out of the water in terms of the tampering. The investigation is ongoing. They are, I think, likely to be docked something. We'll see what that is, but it's not going to happen during or before the 2024 draft, which means it will involve 2025 and potentially 2026 draft compensation picks, what have you. So there is that note. We don't have to worry about this year's draft getting messed with, which is kind of what I expected. So you can relax, take a deep breath based on that, and we'll see if anything else comes of that. And we will be getting into this one last final 7-round mock. No trades, like I said. We'll be looking at some of the options for the players. Basically, in this one, I'm going to take players that I think the Falcons are interested in. This is more of a predictive mock draft where I think these are the guys that the Falcons will go after. I'll try to inject a little bit of, difference at the top, right? Like I've taken Latu like the last three times. And while I do think Latu is going to be the pick ultimately in the first round, probably after a trade down, I want to get some other guys in there, so we'll talk about another option at 8 today, and we'll talk about some of the guys that I think are the guys that the Falcons could potentially be targeting in the other days of the draft. Obviously, this is just one potential scenario. The Falcons probably have close to 100 guys they have on their board that they're considering, so it's just like trying to find a needle in a haystack, finding out exactly which one they'll take at which spot. But last year we got 2 right. So we'll hope for, if I can get one right, then I'll be pretty happy. That's usually how this goes. But still, these are the guys that the Falcons have shown some interest in that I believe the team is interested in. We'll see if anything materializes in terms of actually drafting them. But this is going to be my predictive best guess sort of mock. Trying my best to figure out what Delaney's going to do here, even if I don't necessarily agree with some of the picks as well. So we'll get into that. But first off, I want to bring you guys a real quick word from our sponsor, betonline.ag, folks. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, including the MLB, golf, the NBA playoffs, and the NHL playoffs. I know the Braves are getting off to a hot start here. Unfortunately, the Hawks out of the NBA playoffs, but I know we've got a lot of hockey fans. Golf is in full swing, pun intended, as well. So you can definitely check that out and get the latest stats, news, and scores available online as you follow your favorite teams on their path to the playoffs and beyond. You can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to that website today, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, so for today's mock, Like I said, we're going to go through without making any trades. So we're going to keep the Falcons' current selection of picks, which is 8 total picks. One first rounder, one second rounder, 2/3, a 4th, a 5th, and 2/6. So we'll go through those. And, you know, real quick, like just some stuff to touch on. I know there's a lot of stuff that gets posted at this time of year. I would say maybe 10% of what you're going to hear between, you know, yesterday, Monday, and Thursday, the draft start time, probably 10% of it is true. The rest is smokescreen. The rest is just distraction. Teams talking, teams leaking, trying to influence stuff. This is all a big game, like, honestly. So treat it that way. Treat everything with skepticism. But you also know there's probably a nugget of truth in there somewhere. You just have to find where it is. So good luck figuring that out. That's part of the fun. But I know there's some, you know, belief that the Falcons have already decided who they're taking. That's just not true. That's not how this process works, unless you're picking like number one or number two overall, you know, because I think at this point we pretty much know who's going number one. So the first couple teams can probably have a good idea about who they're going to take. But at pick 8, there are so many permutations of what could happen. There's so many ways things can get chaotic. We could see 6 quarterbacks just go, which probably not going to happen before 8, right? But, you know, any like crazy stuff has and will happen. So the Falcons have their board set. I can tell you that. Like, they have figured out their board. They have their players stacked. Fontenot gave a great pre-draft press conference today where he actually got into their process a little bit, and it's very illuminating for those that weren't familiar with what the Falcons do, which is they basically tier players into categories. They have, like, you know, he just gave some examples. I don't know that these are in order or anything, but it was like, you know, impact players, elite players, you know, plus starters, impact, you know, like rotational starters, and so on and so forth. And they have the players grouped into these categories, and they basically use, so that's how they determine the best players available, right? They look at these categories and they try to see who's, you know, do we have any guys available in this top category? No. Okay, we go to the next one, and so on. How need plays in, because Fontenot mentioned specifically, we go best player available for us. And part of that is that the Falcons have their own draft board, as does every other NFL team. And they have their own set of rankings on these players. So they don't really care what anybody else thinks, because they have an entire scouting staff that makes their board. They don't really care what the other teams believe, insofar as they care in terms of determining who might be available when, but they don't rank based on other teams. So what they will do is, if they have players that are in the same tier, so like, say we're sitting at 8 and they have, you know, one player in the impact category, and they've got, you know, 3 or 4 players that they like in that elite category. And according to what Fontenot said, they, in most scenarios, they would take the impact player because that is the best player available. There's no one else really in that category. We're just going to go and take him. But if there's 3 players, you know, say in the elite category that are all on the board, and that's, you know, what they have available, they will use need to determine sort of which direction they go. It's kind of like a tiebreaker for them. Okay, we have these guys in a similar bucket. Let's, you know, okay, so we've got an edge rusher in here, we've got a wide receiver in here, and we've got an offensive tackle in here. Okay, well, we need the edge rusher the most, so we'll take the edge rusher because we have these guys kind of ranked similarly. That's kind of their process. I believe that that's probably pretty close to what they do. So, you know, that does mean that they don't have a pick in mind. They haven't filled out the card. They're not just waiting for 8. You know, they haven't decided who they're taking yet. I'm sure that there's factions in the draft room that have a favorite. I obviously have a favorite. I guarantee scouts have favorites, coaches have favorites, and so on. They'll get to 8 and they'll make a decision based on the board that they've collaboratively made, or they will trade. And the other thing that Fontenot mentioned today is that the Falcons are fielding a lot of calls. They're engaging in a lot of conversations. They're talking to a lot of teams. They're trying to sort of narrow it down and figure out who's serious. And we probably, and basically what Fontenot said is this is exploratory. They're trying to figure out who is serious and who's offering, you know, compensation that's probably worthy of their time. But they won't know who's actually going to be interested in trading up until they see who's on the board at pick 8. And again, that's why I say nothing set in stone, because what if something crazy happens? They might have a better offer from certain teams. If a quarterback falls, that could change things. If wide receiver falls, if Joe Alt falls, whatever. That's all very much in play. It's all, you know, just we'll see what happens. So nothing is set in stone. You know, the stuff I'm going to say in terms of I think it's going to be this guy or that guy, that's not a guarantee. because there's not really any guarantees in this. It's more, that's sort of the read that I'm getting, is that this is someone they really like. This is considering, but again, there's not any sure things yet. And honestly, they haven't made any decisions yet, aside from stacking their board. Now, I guarantee you they have the edge rushers ranked, right? They have finished their rankings for the edge rushers. They've finished their rankings for everybody. The board is stacked, but have they decided, you know, they probably won't know who the actual player they're going to take is until they get to A and see how their tiers and stuff stack up. So just something to keep in mind, you know, that if you hear anything about, oh, the Falcons are definitely taking this player, it's not true. They could take that player, but it's not that they haven't decided that as of today. You know, they won't have decided until pick 8. So it's just, you know, a lot of people like to make predictions. I always try to be clear. When I make a prediction, it's not like I'm not saying that this is what the team has told me. They've said they're taking this guy at 8. No, because they would never tell anyone that. And if they did, they would be stupid to do so. So I mean, maybe there's a chance that there is somebody stupid enough to do that, but it's not something that happens. And we're all just guessing, and that's part of the fun. That's why it's fun. You know, we don't know who's going to be picked unless you're got the number one overall pick. You probably don't know exactly who you're going to take. Even Commanders fans are still questioning whether it's going to be Jaden Daniels or Drake May, even though they have the number two pick. So it's a fun time. It's a wild time, but don't get caught up in, you know, freaking out because somebody said, oh, the Falcons are taking X player at 8. You can mark it down in pen because, you know, maybe they will take that player, but I guarantee you it's not because the team has already decided they're taking that player. And we'll see, but you know, getting to the actual mock draft itself at pick 8, I do believe that the Falcons are going to trade down. I think that they will have offers, plenty of them. And it really just depends on, is it a quarterback? Is it a wide receiver that, or Joe Alt that fall there? That will determine who. Me personally, I would be watching the Raiders in particular. I think the Raiders are the team that is desperate enough for Michael Penix. And you know, you see all the buzz about, oh, Michael Penix at 8. It's not about the Falcons taking Michael Penix at 8. I don't think, you know, the team hasn't told me we're not going to take Michael Penix at 8. So, you know, I can't say that with absolute certainty, but I believe that it is likely to be somebody else considering Michael Penix at 8, and that's where that buzz is coming from. Because the Falcons have made it clear they're open for business. Fontenot has already said they're taking tons of calls. So everyone knows the Falcons want to trade. I believe they will. I believe they will find a trade partner. I don't know which teams. I think, you know, the Jets at 10, the Broncos at 12, the Raiders at 13. And then gets into like a different tier, right? The Colts at 15 and the Rams at 19. Those are sort of the bigger trade downs. I think 13 with the Raiders is the one to watch because the Raiders have a second round pick that the Jets don't have, that the Broncos don't have. Now the Colts obviously do. And the Rams can, you know, potentially come with more future compensation. But, you know, I think the Raiders present the best opportunity of like maximizing value while still not risking losing Latu for the most part. I think that the thing is, you know, one edge rusher is probably going to go before pick 13. I don't think we're going to get two. And even if there were two, you're still going to have the third edge rusher, whoever that is. And honestly, Chicago is probably most likely to take Verse of anyone because of their scheme. So I, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But I don't think the Falcons have to worry too much about losing Latu before pick 14. I think the Saints at 14 are the next team that could realistically go after an edge rusher high. But even them, I think they're not likely to do it because they desperately need a tackle. So, you know, it's an interesting situation. But let's say that for whatever reason, the Falcons can't trade down. You know, I do think that Latu is arguably their top target. I don't know if they would take him at 8. Or if they couldn't get a deal done, you know, I think this is a spot where they could go Rome Odunze, right? They could go for the best player on their board. If they have Rome Odunze like tiered in that next tier of like, he's an impact guy. And we think like, you know, Dallas Turner and Laiatulatu are more like elite players. You know, they could easily go for Odunze. There's been some buzz about Byron Murphy. I don't think that's particularly likely at 8, but you know, there could be something to that. You know, and Joe Alt, I think if Joe Alt falls and they can't get a deal done, I think that's a blue chip tackle like that. It's hard to pass that up because it gives you so much flexibility with Matthews, with Caleb McGarry, and like that is not something that's super far away. So, and you're probably like, this is, if you're going to get a blue chip tackle prospect, this is your best chance to do so. So if that falls into your lap and nobody wants to trade up for him, you know, that is something I think you should not discount as a possibility. But all that being said, and because I've drafted Latu like 15,000 times, we're going to go with Dallas Turner here at 8, because I think if they do stick and pick at 8, Dallas Turner is probably the one that they would go for. And again, like, I like Latu the best, but based on what Fontenot has done in the past, Turner would seem like the one that is the more logical fit from some angles. He has the length. That has been something that Fontenot has pretty heavily prioritized with his defensive line picks. Obviously, he's the best athlete. I think he has some terrific potential. And he does have that coverage ability that none of the other ones really do have. You know, Latu has done it a little bit. Verse hasn't done it at all. But I don't really think the coverage is that important. But if you're looking at it from that angle, that is an option. And look, Turner has a lot of technical work to do. He's got some stuff to catch up on. He needs to get stronger and play the run better. And he's going to take longer to come to pass. Like, he's going to take longer to hit his stride than these other two guys. But he does have that elite upside. He has that top edge rusher upside that the other two maybe don't have. You know, maybe Latu is just a, you know, low-end double-digit sack guy, like a 10-sack guy. I would be totally happy with that. But is he ever going to be like a TJ Watt, you know, all these like super Miles Garrett-type guys that are like getting you 15-plus sacks and are like one of the best pass rushers in the NFL? I don't know. Maybe not. But I think Falcons fans and I would be pretty happy with getting a 10-sack guy, like a consistent 10-sack guy that is just a good, reliable player that's not going to hurt you, that's going to be a 10-sack guy. Like, I think most Falcons fans would be like, if I could have a 10-sack guy, I would just take that guy right now instead of the chance of getting a 15-sack guy. But I think some people think I don't like Turner, or I don't want the Falcons to take him, or I have a problem with Turner. I don't. I'm fine with him being a top 10 pick. He does seem to fit Fontenot's prototype. I think if they stick and pick at 8, he's definitely one of the guys in consideration. So, I'm going to send him here at 8. I do think that, you know, it will ultimately be Latu after a trade down. But if they stay at 8, they will have the opportunity to take Turner that they might not have if they do trade down. So, we'll see how it plays out. But I think Dallas Turner, Latu, both worthy prospects for the Falcons at 10 here. The second round pick 43. We're not doing any trades, like I said. Pick 43 is a good place to potentially get a defensive back, and that I think is the way to go. There's always a chance that one of these top receivers falls because it's such a deep class, so I would be watching that too. And if the Falcons, for whatever reason, don't take an edge rusher in the first round, they're kind of boxed in to where they're probably going to have to take one at 43 or risk missing out on the starters. So, here we're going to go with the cornerback, go with TJ Tampa from Iowa State. This is a guy I've mocked to the Falcons before. I just think he's a great fit. And the Falcons, I think, need other options at corner. We don't know what the long-term plan is with Terrell, whether he's going to get an extension or he's going to, you know, play out the year on the option and then get a tag and trade, or he could get an extension next year. We don't know, but the Falcons need a starter opposite Terrell now, and they also need long-term options in case they don't want to pay Terrell. So, getting, you know, a good cornerback that could potentially become a starter and a, you know, cornerback two, cornerback one, even eventually, I think TJ Tampa is a good option here. I think he's great for this zone heavy coverage that the Falcons are going to run. He's big and long. He's aggressive. He disrupts routes. He gets his hands on a ton of passes. Very fluid mover. Good athlete. I think he's got great instincts for the football. And I think he's physical. He's a good tackler. He also has played the slot. So if the Falcons want to move guys around and do stuff, he can play the slot as well. I just think he's a good fit. I think he makes a ton of sense for this team. And I think this is the one corner that I think is likely to be at 43 as well, like reliably. So I think this is one I would definitely circle as a real possibility here at 43. Moving on to pick 74 in the third round. This is the one that I was alluding to that I don't personally agree with, but I think there's a little too much smoke around this possibility to ignore it. I've basically ignored it for a long time, and I feel like I have to at least entertain the possibility. So for this mock, one of my final two, we'll do it, which is the Falcons taking Spencer Rattler from South Carolina here at 74. And it's a controversial pick. Again, I think this is a predictive pick, not necessarily a pick I would make. But look, the Falcons have been super public about their desire to add a cornerback three, like a quarterback three, excuse me, behind Kirk Cousins and Taylor Heinicke. They've looked extensively at Michael Penix, right? And they've also looked extensively at Spencer Rattler. And while I think the Penix interest is legit, like I do think they like Penix, I don't think they're going to be able to draft him, you know, where they would be considering drafting him. Maybe if they like traded down again and all this stuff, you know, maybe they would consider him. I don't think the Falcons view that as enough of a need to take him over the top prospects. Again, I think you look at Penix as a guy that has potential, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense with the timeline of Kirk and all this stuff that they're going to spend a top 10 pick on a quarterback. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I think the other one to consider is Rattler, who they've also spent a lot of time on. He will be available in this sort of mid to late day two range. And I think this is a big potential pick here. And look, Rattler's had an up and down career. You guys all know that. But he had the early exciting flashes at Oklahoma, had the struggles, had to transfer to South Carolina, you know, had a mediocre year last year, but finished with a pretty good season this year. This is not the same Rattler from all those years ago. I think he's improved his game a lot. I think he's no longer this like wild, unhinged, you know, gunslinger guy. I think he does take care of the football a lot better. And he was in a tough spot with that South Carolina supporting cast. It was not a good offensive line. It was not a great receiving core outside of Xavier Leggett. So he's had to deal with some struggles. I think he's improved a lot. I think he's matured a lot. And I think that could make him a very good backup quarterback. I just don't know what plus traits are really here. He's small. He's 6'2", 11". That's smaller than you want. I think his arm is kind of average. I mean, he has some good throws on tape, but I just don't think it's that dynamic. And he's not a great athlete either. He ran almost a 5-second 40. He does not have that dynamic athleticism. He's good at making plays outside of structure. He just doesn't have the athleticism to really succeed. I just don't really see starting quarterback potential here. He kind of is just Taylor Heinicke to me, except Taylor Heinicke's a lot more athletic. So I don't see the point of Spencer Rattler. I think that he's probably going to be a good backup. I think his maturity is obviously a big thing that teams like, but he's small. He doesn't have enough plus traits that you're looking at him as a potential starter. So I just don't agree with drafting a backup quarterback that, you know, is just has the ceiling of a backup quarterback on day two. I think that's more of a day three thing. But I think there's too much smoke here for the Falcons for this to not have at least some legs. So I thought I should get it in here just, you know, because, but I would pass. I would pass on adding a quarterback at this point. I would, you know, wait and see if there's anyone interesting on day three, but probably just sign someone in free agency later to be the quarterback three and just sort of punt on that. I don't know that the Falcons will do that. So that's my take there. Next pick, which is pick 79, just a few picks later in the third round, we've got wide receiver Malik Washington from Virginia, who you guys know, one of my favorite players in this draft. I've never been quiet about my love for him. And I don't think you can depend on Rondale Moore being a starter for you. I like Rondale Moore. I know the team has talked him up. I think he's very intriguing, but I think he might just be a wide receiver four type of guy. That sort of creative usage, gadget player type of guy. So I think the Falcons would be wise to get sort of a high volume slot target, somebody that can take all those targets and make an impact there if Rondale Moore isn't really that starter that you're looking for. And I think Malik Washington is that guy, one of the most productive receivers in college football. He's small, right? He's, you know, 5'9", 190, right? Didn't run a huge route tree because of the way they used him, but he's just so talented. And you could tell, like, he was the focal point of that passing game. He's explosive, terrific agility, mobility. He's got the great contact balance, has amazing hands. I mean, he has some incredible catches. You know, he doesn't have elite deep speed, but he moves so well. I think, you know, the route tree is not necessarily his fault. I don't have any concerns about him. He's not a bad route runner. He's actually a good route runner. He just didn't run a huge tree. So I think he's someone that's going to take a little bit of time to learn, but I think he is someone that you can have some plays immediately dialed up for him, and it's going to be ready to come in and do some stuff for you and end up being a high volume slot receiver in time that can just do a lot with short targets, with intermediate targets. And he's got enough speed to threaten deep, but I like Malik Washington a lot, and this is the range he's probably going to go in. I don't think he's going to make it to the fourth round like we've seen in some mocks. I think if you want him, you're going to have to take him here, and I'm not afraid to do that whatsoever. I love Malik Washington. The Falcons have shown some interest in him, so I would love to get him here in Atlanta.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, moving on to day three. Here in round four, pick 109, you know, this is safety here. Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest, who I like a lot. I figured out I had not gotten into a draft yet, so I was like, okay, we got to do this. You know, safety is a spot where I'd love to take a player earlier, and honestly, like, if they don't take a quarterback, that's a great spot for a safety there instead. You know, also an interior defensive lineman could potentially be in play there if they do trade down and pick up another pick, you know. Like, if they could get Tyler Newbin and TJ Tampa in the second round with, like, an extra second round pick from the Raiders, that would be a home run where you just completely change your secondary. But as it stands, no trades, right? I like Malik Mustafa. I think he is a very good player. He's a little bit limited in terms of his role right now. He is a really good box safety. Ultra aggressive, punisher type player. He's got solid deep speed. Like, it's fairly average in terms of the deep speed around a 4.5, right? But he has some elite jumps. He's a really quick, decisive mover. Again, super aggressive. He's a little small, right? 5'10", 210. So he's thick, but he's a little small. And his coverage is a work in progress. Like, he's developing the instincts. He's prone to some false steps. He doesn't necessarily read stuff super well. He leaves a little bit too much space in his zone drops. But man, his play speed and demeanor, you could tell this is a guy that if you get him right in the coverage, this is an impact player. Like, this is a guy that is a playmaker. You know, I think this is a guy that's going to be a box player to start. And I think, again, that's someone that's going to be a special teams contributor and someone that can play in base packages as, like, a third safety and that sort of stuff. But I think with his athletic talent and his ability and his, you know, aggressiveness, I think this is a guy that can develop into a starter. I think this is a very possible starter. It's just going to take a little bit of time, but the Falcons do have DeMarco Helms too. And you know, I think Malik Mustafa in time could be a starter in this defense, but he's someone that can contribute early on as well. And I think that's what you're looking for in a round four pick, someone that, you know, can hopefully become a starter, but for now he's got a role for you. And I think he would have an immediate role for this Falcons defense. Moving to round five, there's a lot of guys I like in this range. This is actually a good draft for this fifth round area. One I keep coming back to, though, wide receiver Luke McCaffrey from Rice. This is such a good fit. The Falcons don't necessarily have to keep getting more receivers, but this is a good class, and this is sort of where that strong part of this receiving class still is. Like, Luke McCaffrey, I think in some classes could be a day two pick. Like, just you look at the traits, the athleticism, all that stuff. He's not necessarily, like, he doesn't have the elite, you know, overall athleticism of, like, Christian McCaffrey, right? But he has great movement skills. He's got good size, right? 6'2", 202. He's got the build to potentially be an inside-outside guy, although I think right now he's more of a slot receiver. He's got great hands, super physical, can survive those contested catches, work the middle of the field. But I think he's only played wide receiver for a couple years, former quarterback convert. You know, I think this is a guy that's probably going to have a quieter rookie season. He could do some things for you. And again, I think his ability to potentially back up outside and inside is going to help keep him on the roster. But I think this is a guy that absolutely has wide receiver three type upside. And if you can get that in the fifth round and get a contributing wide receiver, I think you're pretty happy. And I think, you know, between him and Malik Washington, you've got two young sort of high upside guys that you can work into your offense. Malik Washington, I think, will be able to immediately contribute. McCaffrey might take a little bit longer, but these are two guys, and I think this is the draft to do it, to double dip on receiver and start making headway there. That you've kind of, it's a position that the Falcons have neglected for many years. So I think this is the time to do it in this deep class. Round six, pick 187, two more picks to to go. Penultimate pick here. This is a guy that I kind of have been curious about, and I think that I saw that the Falcons have actually looked into him a bit. And I think this is the type of guy that this coaching staff that's very has a lot of emphasis on the secondary and developing guys would like. And that's defensive back Jalen Simpson from Auburn. And I call him a defensive back because that's what he is. He's not really just a safety or a corner. He's a unique guy, super long, but kind of small. Like also, you know, over 32 inch arms, which is tremendous length for the secondary. Just 6 foot, 179, so very light. Played safety this year for Auburn. And again, that came with its own set of challenges against the run in particular. But absolute ball hawk. You know, good speed, elite jumps and short area quickness. You know, four interceptions in 2023, two in 2022. He's played a lot of corner, and this year he played a lot of safety. So this is a guy that has that flexibility to fill multiple roles, can be that sort of ideal depth piece for you. I think you're going to eventually want him to pick one or the other as his primary position. It's nice that he has the flexibility to play both if needed and be that kind of hybrid guy. I do think Simpson's probably a corner given his size, but I think he could be a very good outside corner. He's got that length. He's got the movement skills. He just needs to add a little bit of weight and you know, get a little bit more comfortable in coverage and a couple of things like that. Really, I think it's like the run support is the big thing. And I think moving him to outside corner, that's not going to be as big of a problem as a safety, right? He needs to pack on mass. He needs to continue developing. But this is a guy that I think has intriguing potential. And this is the type of prospect I think this very secondary heavy coaching staff is going to really appreciate and want to get their hands on. And then we're going to go with one of my favorites here at pick 197. I think it's still kind of criminal that he's being mocked in this range or just going undrafted a lot. And that's Fabian Lovett Sr. from Florida State. Again, like this, I would really like to get another interior defensive lineman in here before this, but this is the only one they can add. I think he will make a big impact for pick 197. Fabian Lovett checks all the boxes for me. He's big. He's strong. He's got crazy long arms, like 35 and a half inch arms. That is absolutely wild for an interior defensive lineman. He's a dominant run defender. He eats up space. He takes on double teams. You know, he is the run plugging nose that this team needs, and he's not going to cost them an arm and a leg. And I think he's going to be a good fit. Funny enough, I think Lance Zierlein's comp for him was Eddie Goldman, which is hilarious. I just don't trust that Eddie Goldman's going to make it to the season. Maybe he will. That would be great. I'd be into that for sure. If he's ready to play and he's healthy and all that stuff, that's great. But I don't think you can depend on that. And, you know, I think with this 3-4, you really do need to make sure you have a run-plugging nose in there to free up your other guys. And I love Fabian Lovett. He can play a little bit of other stuff, too. He doesn't just have to play nose. He's not a flashy player. He's not a pass rusher. He does the dirty work on early downs. He eats up those blocks. Very powerful, very hard to displace. Does a great job at what he's asked to do. He just doesn't generate pressure. And, you know, I think he's just not a stat stuffer. Doesn't have a ton of production and all that. But measurables-wise, work ethic-wise, you know, I love Fabian Lovett Sr. I think he's the type of guy this team would covet. From a character standpoint, from just a role-filling standpoint. And look, this is a guy that's probably going to play a good number of snaps for you right away as a late sixth-round pick. Make it happen. Like, we don't need to mess around trying to take a bunch of developmental guys everywhere. Just get the good run-defending nose tackle that everybody else seems to devalue. Get that guy in here. Fine. Fill that hole on your team with a sixth-round pick and be pretty happy. That's my takeaway on that one. But that is the draft, guys. Appreciate everyone for tuning in to this final prediction episode. Just want to remind folks, we will be live, first of all, Wednesday night for our final live mock draft with Eric Robinson and Adnan Ekic on the Falcoholic Live. Check that out on our YouTube channel. It'll also be up, of course, on all the platforms shortly afterwards. We also, of course, will be live for all three nights of the NFL draft, including we'll be starting around 7:45-ish on Thursday, around 7 on Friday, and then noon when things kick off on Saturday. We'll be live as long as the Falcons have picks to go. So I'll be joined by we have a huge list of guests that we're working on figuring out when they're going to be there. We'll also be giving away $50 gift cards on each day of the draft so that you have that to look forward to as well if our, you know, glowing coverage wasn't enough to convince you. But yeah, check that out. Please like, subscribe. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me your final predictions in the comments. Let me know what your final mock drafts are. Who do you think the Falcons are going to take at 8, or do you think they're going to trade down? Let us know. Appreciate all the comments, even the hate comments. It's fine. I understand there's a lot of anger about this team out there. So it's okay. You can let it out. I can handle it. But thank you guys for watching today. Thank you for following us throughout this draft process. We got a couple more shows to go, and then it'll be draft night before you know it. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Kevin Knight of Falcoholic. Kevin, like I said, like, subscribe, leave that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. We will see you on Wednesday night, and then every night of the NFL draft as we close up this 2024 draft cycle. Thank you guys so much for following along with us on the Dirty Birds of Bruce podcast. We'll see you next time. Have a great day, folks.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.